Okay, it's page 62 on top. Is that what page at the bottom again?
108.
108 at the bottom. Well, the Rebbe is explaining here how it's called Velacha Dovim Meir, how it's very close and easy for somebody to become close to Hashem. And he says like this, even the lowest of Jew is ready to give up his life for not to bow down to an idol. And he says, and he won't even do it in a way of saying, you know what, I'll sin and I'll do tshuva because then I'll be able to do everything. He won't even do that, right? Because it's going to be difficult to do tshuva. So he says, if a simple Jew is willing to give up his life not to commit the sin of idol worshipping, the Rebbe says, every sin in the book is idol worshipping. So how much more so is a person able, the Torah says, to not give, not to God forbid, have to get killed, but not to give in to the temptations of the Yetzer Hara, not to come to sin. And the Rebbe starts, whether it's Asay Tov, or whether it's Sur Merah, not sinning or not or doing good, the Rebbe says, how much ease, if you understand, that every sin is idol worshipping. Every single sin is idol worshipping. And Hashem's not asking us to give up our life, not to worship the idols. All he's saying is, give up your temptation for the sake of being connected to Hashem. He says, how much more so is it very easy for a person to do? And he says like this, let's start four lines at the end of the page of 108. Ukiyetzer ba'elo, any of these types of mechemes ha'yetzer, from any battles of the Yetzer Hara, v'tachbuleisev, or any evil's intent, the karer nefesh ha'odom, to cool down the heart of the soul of a man, shalei lahafkir ha'mameini, not to give away his money, ubri is gufa, or your health, he said, shalamid negdei, to fight and stand up against the Yetzer Hara, v'lekovshein, to conquer it, karev me'ed ala odom, it's very easy for a person not to sin. He says, how is it easy? When a person realizes the following, to conquer, to be victorious over the Yetzer and all this. For Yetzer is even more. And to do the opposite of what the Yetzer wants, is much easier from the punishment of death. To give in to our will is much easier than dying, God forbid. That's a given. But it's, by the way, it's not necessarily true. You know, they ask the famous question, Akedas Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak was brought up as a carbon, supposed to be brought up as a carbon, so we count it as a test of Avraham Avinu. The tenth test, the final test of Avraham Avinu. So many commentaries ask, why is it Avraham Avinu's test? If you watch the movie, Yitzchok was a little boy. Because that's the implication you get. You know, he took his son by the hand, and he took him up to being a carbon. Yitzchok at the time of the Akedah was 37 years old. He wasn't a kid. He was a 37-year-old man. So, he's getting killed, and it's called the test of Avraham Avinu. Yitzchok says, at the Avraham, he would walk, he says, we say davening every day. There's the wood here, the fire, everything's there. Where's the lamb? Where's the carbon? Okay, what did Avram say? Alakim yera la'asela ilabini. Simply means that God's going to show it to us. With Rashi comments from the Medrash, Hashem said, Avram said to him, you know what? Guess what? You're the carbon. And right away, they went together. So the question is, why is it counted the test of Avram? It should be Yitzchok's test. He was a 37-year-old man. So one of the many answers to the question is a very simple answer. It's harder to live like a Jew than to die as a Jew. Meaning like this. Yitzchok was going to die, it would be over. Avram Avinu, if he was going to kill his son, he would have to live with it for the rest of his life, that he killed his son. That living with that concept is much more difficult than Yitzchak's dying. But here the Rebbe says, to give in to the temptations, not to give in to the temptations of the Yetzer Hara, And just to live the way a Jew is definitely much easier than dying. Right? And if it comes to dying, who wouldn't give up their life not to worship idols? Even the simplest Jew would do that. So he says, second line from the top. He would accept it willingly. Not to separate from Hashem. Afilu lefisha, even temporarily. Not to bow to the idol. A person would be willing to give up his life. So it says, how much more so the person has to think. A person has to accept this concept willingly with love. To cling to Hashem forever. In other words, Alter Rebbe says like this. Once you realize that every sin is idol worshipping, it's very easy to serve God. If you realize, let's say, thinking, talking, doing what we're not supposed to do, is mamish bowing down to an idol? If you really feel it, is mamish bowing down to an idol? So which Jew is going to want to do that? Every Jew would die instead of bowing down to an idol. Here we're not asking you to die. All we're asking you is not to think, not to say, not to do what you shouldn't be doing. So he says it's very easy for a Jew to do. And he says there even more. When a person does the will of Hashem in this mitzvah, it becomes revealed within the person the ultimate intent of Hashem. With a tremendous revelation of godliness, not with any concealment. In other words, when a person does a mitzvah, they have an open connection with Hashem. And he says, "Ukshein shum has to panim beratzin alien." And when there's no concealment of godliness, as a endava nifrit klal v'klal, there's no separation between the Jew and Hashem. In other words, like this, like we learned many times, there's positive mitzvahs, there's negative mitzvahs. Positive mitzvahs reveals godliness in the world, right? You do an action that Hashem tells you to do. You reveal godliness in the world. That's why when we do a positive mitzvah, we make a bracha. Hashem kidshanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu, that God sanctified us. Hashem sanctified us when we do a positive mitzvah. You do a positive mitzvah, you make this holy. You make the esrog holy, the lulav holy, the candle holy, whatever it is, you make it holy. So the action of a positive mitzvah brings godliness into the world. Therefore we say Hashem kidshanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu. When somebody doesn't eat chazer, they don't make a bracha. Why don't we make a bracha? Shekachanu b'mitzvetz v'tzivanu shaloi le'echol chazer. She makes such a bracha. Or shaloi le'daber lashon hara. Or shaloi, whatever. You know, why don't we make a bracha on a negative commandment? Because a negative commandment doesn't bring kedushin to the world. What does this mean? In order for godliness to be revealed in the world, you need two things. Number one, to reveal godliness. And secondly, making sure nothing blocks it. Right? If godliness is revealed in the world, but there's a lot of blockages, then you don't have godliness in the world either. Positive mitzvahs reveal godliness in the world. When we don't eat chazer, we're not bringing godliness into the world. We're not bringing godliness into the world. Because what are we doing? We're not doing anything. What happens when you don't eat chazer? It works like this. When you eat chazer, evil becomes strong. Because you're feeding evil. If evil becomes stronger, that blocks godliness. So when you transgress a negative commandment, you're not bringing kedushin to the world. You're feeding evil to make evil stronger, and the stronger evil is, the more it blocks kedushin. What happens when you don't eat chazer? If it's not fed, it gets weak. When evil is not fed, the blockage of evil is not as strong as it is if you would do evil. So the Rebbe is saying here two things. When you don't sin in the negative commandment, you're causing a weakness of the concealment in the world because you're not feeding it. You don't feed it, it gets weaker. Everything needs to be fed, right? Evil needs to be fed. If you don't feed evil, it becomes weaker. So when you don't sin in a negative commandment, he says you're not having any blockage between you and Hashem. When you do a positive mitzvah, you're revealing godliness into the world. You're bringing the connection between you and Hashem. So the Rebbe is explaining a person has to think to himself very simple. Any sin I do is bowing down to an idol. Any mitzvah I do, positive mitzvah I do, is mamish connecting me to Hashem, revealing godliness into the world, not the external will of Hashem, but the real, true blue, smiley face will of Hashem. That level causes the unity between the Jew and Hashem. So the Rebbe says the Jew has to think to himself, how hard is it already? Look what you're accomplishing, that Hashem is smiling at you. And the Siddur explains the following. You know, you could be standing next to somebody, but you're literally a whole world apart. If you're standing back to back with somebody, right, you might be next to each other, but realistically, you're the whole world away from each other. You could be standing at the opposite end of the world, but you're looking at each other. Then your mamash have this close connection. Somebody that you hate, that you need to support, you throw it over your shoulder. That's not what you really want. You have no choice. You have to feed them. You throw it over the shoulder. When you like them, you look at them, you smile at them. There's a face-to-face connection. When a Jew does a positive mitzvah, he creates a face-to-face relationship, as he said, panim b'panim, face-to-face relationship with Hashem. So he says, if you think about it, let's say you put on tefillin in the morning, right? You'd rather sleep in bed. But look what you're gaining. The person has to think to himself by putting on tefillin. Look what I'm gaining by it. God is looking at me face to face. Yeah? So, of course it's easy if you're thinking that way, not to stay in bed and not put on tefillin. If a person realizes by doing a negative commandment, they're creating this blockage between them and Hashem, mamish idol worshipping, that they're willing to give up their life for, so of course they're not going to do it. Because the bond between Hashem and the person is very strong. And he says, "Ukshein Shem has to ponim beratzon elyon." When there's no separation between the Jew and Hashem, "Azay ein daver nifrid klal v'klal." There's no separate entities. "Lias yash v'daver b'fnei atzmi," to become a separate entity, separated from Hashem. "Ozeis tiyana nafshu alekiz v'chiyunus," and then his godly soul, the animal soul, "olavushem," and the garments, "Kulam yuchadis betachas hayichud," are united with the ultimate unity, "beratzon ha'elyon," in the will of Hashem, "ve'erein tzav baruch hu kanal," with the oneness of Hashem. And now the Rebbe is going to say something which is quoted by the Rebbe many, many times, and it's one of the like one-liners of Tanya that are well known. Now the Rebbe says like this, "V'yichud zeh lemaila," and this statement answers a lot of questions people ask. The unity that you get with Hashem when you do a mitzvah is eternal forever. Many people ask a question. You go out into the street. A guy puts on tefillin once. Yeah, you speak to a woman, she benches licht once. Big deal. He's not doing it tomorrow. He's not doing it the next day. He didn't do it last week, 2 weeks ago. What's the big deal? If one time a guy puts on tefillin when he has 364 days of the year, he's not doing it. And maybe not even for the next 10 years. What's the accomplishment of benching licht once? What's the big deal? It's only once. Big deal. The Rebbe says a remarkable statement. He says like this. A mitzvah means binding and connection. Right? Mitzvah binds it to Hashem. When a Jew puts on tefillin at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 7.05, that's it. And he takes them off right away. A woman benches licht at 8 o'clock. She benches licht. Now, the Rebbe says, it's not that you're connected from 7 to 7.05 or from 8 to 8.01. Because Hashem is higher than time and place, Hashem is not bound in time and place. When you put on tefillin once from 7 to 7.05, that bond with Hashem is eternal forever. You are eternally connected and bound to Hashem. Because Hashem is above time and place. You connected yourself to Hashem, it's an everlasting bond, an everlasting relationship. And that's how the Rebbe answered, like, why do people, why do you have a person do a mitzvah once? What's the big deal? The answer is the big deal. Because the person is bound now to Hashem forever. By one candle lighting, by one tefillin, by one lulav, by one whatever it may be. It's an eternal, everlasting bond. Which is above the time and place, because Hashem is above time and place. And that explained, contrary to other kiruv, whatever you want to call them, movements, the Rebbe's opinion in being mekarev of a Jew to Yiddishkeit, the Rebbe says, the first thing, don't debate, don't dialogue, don't learn, don't discuss. The first thing, do a mitzvah with the person. You meet a person, tefillin, licht, whatever it may be. The first thing you do with a person is do a mitzvah. Why? The mitzvah makes him bound. Once he's bound, there's an automatic connection. There's somebody to talk to. The many organizations that in philosophy, they'll meet you, they will not put on tefillin with you for the first 6 months. They'll learn about love, sex, and marriage. They'll learn about who knows what. They'll learn about everything under the sun, but they will never ask you to put on tefillin. They say the person's not ready for it, he has to be mentally ready. The Rebbe says, the first thing, you do a mitzvah with somebody. You bind him to Hashem. Once he's openly, the neshama is anyway bound. Once he's in action, he's bound to Hashem, he's automatically, forever he's connected. That means, when you put on tefillin from 7 to 7.05, it's a bond 24-7, 365 days a year for the rest of your life. And this one line that the Rebbe said, "V'yichuzel lemaila, who nitzchi leilam vo." This unity that you have with Hashem is eternal forever. Why? Ki hu yizbarach v'ratzayne lemaila miyazman, because Hashem is above time and place. V'chein gila ratzayne shebedeburishu ateira. The same thing, Hashem's verbal speech and teira is also nitzchi, is also eternal. Like the pasuk says, "Udvar alekeinu yakum la'olam." The word of Hashem will last forever. Udvar of chayim v'kayamim, and the words are living and existing forever. Lo yachlif, will never be exchanged. Lo yamer dasil la'olam, Hashem will never exchange His Torah forever. It says, even when Mashiach comes, even those mitzvahs that Chazal say won't be, Chassidus says will be, but in a different style, a different level, a different meaning to it. Ella, but, shalamata itacha sazmat. Down here, it's under the jurisdiction of time. And by the way, this is another remarkable concept Chassidus explains. Every mitzvah, you can't do just whenever you want. You have to do a mitzvah at the prescribed time and place to do the mitzvah. Okay, lulav and esrog is a mitzvah. Yeah, if a person right now will take a lulav and an esrog and make a bracha on it, on the tilas lulav, not only didn't they do a mitzvah, they mamish did an aveda. Right, did an aveda. They said Hashem's name in vain. The question is, if it's a mitzvah, why is it only good on Sukkos? Why isn't it good today? The answer is, because the mitzvah of lulav and esrog comes into time and place only during the day, only on Sukkot, and that's it. Some mitzvahs, like tefillin, Hashem says you have to put on 6 days a week. You don't do lulav and esrog 6 days a week, every day of the year. And if you put do lulav and esrog in the morning, tomorrow morning get up and do lulav and esrog, you make your bracha in vain. Every mitzvah comes under the jurisdiction of time and place. Because the whole purpose of mitzvah is to transform time and place to Kedusha. To transform the physical time that Hashem tells you to do the mitzvah, to transform that time and place to be able to do it. What could be holier than bringing a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Nothing could be holier than bringing a sacrifice. If somebody would bring a sacrifice at night, or out at Yerushalayim, or they'd be mamish getting a sin at this capital Kodesh. Hashem says you die. What could be wrong bringing a carbon here? Hashem says because the carbon has to be brought to Yerushalayim, has to be brought during the day, has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. You can't do it whenever you want. Yet, when a person benches lulav and sukkos, that unity and bond that they got with Hashem by doing lulav and esrog and sukkos is permanent for the year, for every year, for all time. And can never be taken away. A guy can scream, I regret that I put on tefillin. I regret that I did lulav and esrog. He could scream, he regrets every mitzvah he did. You know what? It doesn't help. He's still bound. He's still bound with Hashem. You can never take it away. It's a permanent connection. So he says, if a person realizes that every mitzvah I do causes a permanent, eternal connection with Hashem face to face, so why isn't it easy to do mitzvahs? Who wouldn't want to do a mitzvah?
What if he's doing an
aveira also? Well, that's in a negative way. When he does an aveira, he's causing a separation between him and Hashem. The only difference is, by a negative aveira, the separation lasts until you do tshuva. You do tshuva, the separation is over.
So you could have it 10 days and
not
6.
Huh?
It could happen day
off. What? That's the name of the game. I don't know how many people do tshuva 10 times a day, but okay. I know a lot of people that sin 10 times a day, but I don't know how many people that do tshuva 10 times a day. Yeah. He cut it. It's two separate things. The positive mid strings get stronger, the negative strings get weaker. The rope is composed of 613 strings. Binds it to Hashem.
If it lasts forever, it shouldn't get any thinner. Those strings aren't going to get
thinner. No, those strings are not going to get thinner. Because there's 613 strings. Chassidus explains, we learned this by Pirkei Avos, why is it saying the Mishnah mitzvah gereres mitzvah? One mitzvah schleps another mitzvah. One aveda schleps another aveda. Right? So Chassidus explained very simple. A mitzvah gereres mitzvah is because when you do a mitzvah and you're bound now to Hashem, now that you're closer to Hashem, it's easier to do another mitzvah because you're closer to Hashem. If you do an aveda and you separate yourself from Hashem, once you're separated, so of course it's easier to do another aveda. You're separated. But this Chassidus explains the word schar mitzvah. What the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says literally, most mafarshim learn the reward of a mitzvah you can do to another mitzvah. Because mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Chassidus explains, schar mitzvah means the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. The mitzvah means the binding. What greater reward is there for a mitzvah that you're bound with the essence of Hashem? That's why the Mishnah says 1 hour Torah mitzvahs in this world is better than the whole Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not the essence of Hashem, it's the ray of Hashem. You do a mitzvah in this world, you're bound with the essence of Hashem forever. So one Torah mitzvahs in this world is better than all the mitzvahs and all the reward in Olam Haba. Revelation-wise, it's greater there. Essentially, it's greater here. Which cake is better? The bakery cake or the lopsided cake the kids make? Which one's better?
The lopsided.
Externally, which one looks better?
The bakery.
Okay, but which one is better? Okay, that's the concept.